Want Slug Magazine to come to you? Enjoy Slug Magazine all year long, no matter where you are. We offer subscription services to the United States for just $35 a year. Visit slugmag.bigcartel.com to sign up for your Slug Magazine subscription.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
Pay attention, Bijou did it.
Hey there, I'm Bijou, a music producer in Salt Lake City, Utah. I go by he, him pronouns, and born and raised in Utah. When I tell people I make music, I'm just like, I make beats, because that's essentially what they are. I had a friend, Jaden, who taught me how to use Ableton. Just kind of showed me around and then showed me how to chop a sample. To me, that seemed like wizard shit, because I was like, you can just chop up audio like that? Like, that's, you can just do that? And then I just went back and listened to all the music I had been listening to ever since I was like 14, and I was just mesmerized, because knowing that somebody could just like manipulate a sample or some sort of sound to create whatever was like just absolutely arcane to me. The way that I approach making sample-based music is like, it's like a huge puzzle, except all the puzzle pieces are all the records that exist in the world, and they can fit infinitely into each other. So you have to figure out what goes where, and if that makes sense. I feel like a lot of good like sample-based music is really just like an opinion of taste, essentially. Is it someone saying, I like this thing so much that I want to mess with it? When I first started making music, I really got into it. I think the thing that pushed me the most was, it was like, not necessarily an escape, but I was dealing with a lot of mental health stuff. I was just out of high school. I had just finished up my first semester of college, and it didn't pan out very well. I was just kind of like all over the place mentally. I wasn't doing anything. I didn't have a plan to do anything. I was just taking a break from school, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I'll try this music thing, because I was really into it in high school. I think I just kind of spiraled kind of down from there, and the noise that was created from dealing with mental stuff was only escapable to me through making or focusing on music. And so it was just so noisy in my dome, essentially. At the time, I didn't know exactly what was going on, and I can really only inspect it in hindsight of like what, because when I was going through it, I'm just like, oh, I've just got really bad anxiety. Like, you know, I'm just like thinking these weird thoughts. I'm really paranoid about a lot of stuff. This idea is really weird, but it could be true. Just sort of like weird stuff going on. So I was just using music as a way to kind of quiet that. I remember specifically when I was like 17 or so, I had my first like disassociative episode, and I had no idea what was going on. I remember it like so vividly, like the feeling of it. I remember just sitting in like a family economics type class, And I just felt really weird. Like, I felt like I wasn't me. I felt like I was, like, lifting out of my body. Like, my skin felt weird. I had no idea what was going on, and it messed me up all day. I had no clue. And so I ended up going to the doctor that day because I was living with my dad at the time, and I was like, I just don't feel good. And, you know, I'm like, can I go see a doctor? Like, can I go get, like, you know, like a checkup or whatever, go to the Instacare? And they basically just checked me out and they're like, yeah, you're good. Going up into, like, my finals week of college, I remember having a large enough panic attack that, like, I've had one before. Like, I'd have panic attacks before, but this one stuck with me for a really long time. And from there, I started just kind of tumbling down this weird sort of hole, and I started thinking things like, aliens exist and they're gonna come and kill me, and there's nothing I can do about it. And I would read that from, like, an article on Twitter that there was, like, a UFO sighting, and I would start believing that, you know, aliens were coming to get me. Or I'd have a headache and I'd be like, you know, I drank some funny water and there's a brain parasite. I have a brain parasite. I'm like, I'm gonna die. I wasn't talking to a lot of my friends. I wasn't going out very much. And my only way to deal with all this stuff was to just put some headphones on and just try to chop up a track, because everything else was so obscenely deafening. The thing that's so dangerous with mental illness in general is that you get used to it. Like, when you initially feel it, you know, it's like putting your hand to the stove and it hurts. But after a while, like, if you just keep your hand on the stove, you're just not gonna feel it anymore. So for me, I think I, like, quote unquote, got used to it. I started developing, like, tests for myself to test reality to see if it was real or not. So there was a caricature of myself that I drew on my wall. And if it made me feel uneasy, then I was not good. If I didn't care, then I was good. I started caring less and less about the face that I had drawn on the wall after a period of time, so I knew I was getting relatively better. This is before even being on medication. But that's the thing, is that I started building up these barricades to kind of prevent me from falling off the edge of the cliff, essentially. And I spent a lot of energy kind of maintaining those barricades. And the problem that ends up happening is that it still exists. Like, it doesn't go away. It's still there. So as much as I thought that I had moved past it, because more than anything, I wanted to move past what I was experiencing, because I was just feeling just intense fear from it. And that feeling in your stomach where you just feel your stomach drop, it was just that feeling for 2 years. I went through a couple bouts of homelessness just from just the inability to just do day-to-day tasks and, like, maintain some sort of financial security, or just not being able to do the things that I needed to do to survive, essentially. And that's where mental illness really gets you, is that it starts impacting your day-to-day life when you have responsibilities and you have stuff that you need to do. And if you can't do those things, there's not really a safety net for you. Previously, I had not been open to medication, but I was so desperate at this point that I was like, I will do anything to be better. I think that's a huge part of getting better, is wanting to be better, like, wholeheartedly. I started going to therapy, And with the income that I was afforded by working, like, I was able to go to therapy and also pay for my medications. Without medication, a whole lot of, like, my processing faculties was just going to, like, functioning, surviving sort of thing. And that requires, like, a lot of energy to be able to kind of do that stuff, to, like, install those mechanisms for yourself if they're not already there. By getting on medication, that just freed up a bunch of, like, RAM space, essentially, in my brain. And I was like, whoa, I can do, like, way more now. Like, before, I think the most tracks that I'd ever made in a day was, like, 3. And now I can do, I think the most that I've had is, like, 10. The trade-off and the thing that we were talking about in therapy was, creatively, how will that impact me? Because, like, I didn't realize at the time, like, how much, and we didn't, I mean, there wasn't really a way to measure it, like, how much was the music stuff being influenced by mental illness? There was a trade-off that, like, kind of had to be made in that sort of circumstance. It's like, okay, like, are you willing to sacrifice, like, security for, like, a dope melody? Having a noisy brain for so long and then it just being quiet just let me do whatever I wanted to do creatively, because that opened up, like, I could think about other things. Like, I could delve more time into, like, tweaking something, where before I couldn't put that attention into that. And, like, the other thing is, like, they're not as busy or messy as they used to be. And to me, that's because I can remember the process of making those beats, or I can get the idea of what the project looked like. Or for the new stuff, it feels so much more in tune with what I want to do. To me, they feel more clean. They feel more, like, deliberate in a way. Because before, it felt like I was kind of reaching for ideas, like, as they kind of poured out. If there was, like, a giant cascading, you know, waterfall, and there's, like, stuff in it, and I was reaching my hands in to grab stuff and not knowing what they are or whatever, it felt like I was kind of reaching into, like, something that I didn't really completely understand. But for having medication, it feels like I, like, brought some supplies with me or something. Like, I have, like, a bucket to catch things, or, like, I know what I'm going for. I don't think that I'm particularly giving a hot take when I'm saying that we should push for mental health measures on, like, at a local level, and I think on a grander scale, like, as a country. But I do think addressing the monster under the bed and just kind of recognizing your own, I guess, reservations about particular mental illnesses is really, really important. And I think readdressing the severity of depression and anxiety is also important too, because I think humor is a great way to, like, cope with stuff like that, with mental illness in general. But I do think that there's a conversation that needs to be had about, like, how debilitating anxiety and depression can be, even if it's quote unquote not as novel as other, like, mental illnesses. If more people experience it, then I think it's even more of a problem. Just trying to reopen some conversations and start some new ones, I think, is a good place to start, and then just kind of go from there and play it by ear. But hopefully things get better as we talk about them more. You are about to hear If Only for One Night by myself. I made this track a couple of months ago, I think back in June. I've been experimenting with some new sounds, very influenced by the UK drill type of percussion and drums recently. So this is kind of a foray into that, and it's just an exercise in sample chopping. You can find me on Twitter predominantly at Bijou, ILYSM. That's also the same handle on Instagram. And I've also got music up on Spotify, just under Bijou. You can also find some of my loose tracks on SoundCloud that I don't put up on Spotify at Live at the Bijou. And Bijou is spelled B-I-J-U-U. I think I'll be doing some stuff with Ben Ross soon, after he releases his tape that he's been working on, and then with Nico as well from Swell Merchants. We've got some stuff going on too. I've also got an artist that I've stumbled across. His name is Mockman Bandy. He's from Philly. We're also working on some stuff. I usually leave all that stuff up to them for when they want to release it, but I'm hoping that we release some stuff before the end of the year. Definitely new stuff from me before the end of the year. If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves, please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
Love street style? Check out our online exclusive Slug Style feature. We profile community members with some serious flair and panache, only on slugmag.com.